بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today, inshallah ta'ala, I'd like to talk about this very famous verse that Christians use to justify their belief in the Trinity. They try to say that Jesus promoted the idea that he was divine, that he was God. And they often, perhaps one of the most, if not the most quoted verse is going to be from John 8:58, which is, "Before Abraham was, I am." So first we have to explain this a little bit, explore it, and then see if that's really what's going on. So in the Gospel of John, Jesus said what? So if we look at it in context, what's going on? It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day." Jesus is telling these the Jews, the Pharisees, he's telling them what? He's saying that Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing the day. He saw it and was glad. And then they responded, "You are not yet 50 years old," they said, "and you have seen Abraham." By the way, just as a side point, he never said, "I saw Abraham." He said, "Abraham rejoiced at seeing my day." It's a big difference, but anyway, it seems like they're intent on misrepresenting him. But anyway, and so Jesus responds and says, "What? Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So this is John 8:56 to 59. Now, why is this statement so important, this statement of "I am"? Well, the statement "I am" is considered a divinity claim because it was what God called himself in the Old Testament. And the quote here is from Exodus 3:14 that says, "God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you.'" So, you know, Moses was asking, you know, who should I say? You know, he's speaking to God and saying, "You're telling me to go to the Israelites and talk to them. Well, who's sending me? What should I say?" And he says, "Call me what? I am." That's, you know, "I am who I am." So anyway, the original Hebrew word for "I am," it's pronounced ho-on, ho-on. I don't know if I'm doing a very good job pronouncing it. I apologize if I'm doing a bad job, but that's essentially the statement is ho-on. Okay. Now we take now that we know that background, let's take a look at what's going on in this verse. We actually find that the statement here, "I am," made by Jesus, was recorded in Greek, and it's pronounced in the Greek "ego eimi." Ego eimi, which means "I'm the one we're talking about." It doesn't mean "I am" like ho-on. Those are different statements. How do we know this? Because we find three different, and there's, I believe there are more, but anyway, let's just take a look at these three to make it very clear that ego eimi isn't the declarative statement "I am ho-on," like "I am God." Rather, it just means "I'm the one we're talking about." And what's the proof of that? Because we see that it's used by various people never to imply divinity, but just to mean, "Hey guys, I'm the one that we're talking about." So the first example is the healed blind man. There was a man that was blind, and after Jesus miraculously healed this blind man's eyes, that man went back home to his people. And it says what? His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am that man." What did he say in the Greek? He said, "Ego eimi." This is very important. So let's imagine this scene. A man is miraculously healed by Jesus. He's given his sight back, and now he's up and walking around like as a man that can see. And so all the people that used to know him used to sit there blind. He wouldn't move very much. Obviously, you're blind. You can't just walk around comfortably. Now they see this guy walking around and seeing everything, and they say, "I don't think it's the same guy." Some are like, "No, no, it is the same guy. It's his face." And they're saying, no, he's acting so differently. I think it's a different guy." So in the midst of this debate, this man says to them what? And this is, by the way, in John chapter 9, the very next chapter, right? We were just dealing with John chapter 8. Go to the very next chapter in John, and you have this scene where this man is declaring what? "Ego eimi." Now, why wasn't it translated "I am" with capital letters, saying that, "Hey guys, you're wondering, is that the blind man we knew before, or is it somebody else?" And he's declaring, "I'm God." Now, nobody claims that. Nobody thinks that. Why? Because the words "ego eimi" just mean, "Hey guys, no, it's actually me. I'm the guy. I'm the one we're talking about. You know, you guys are wondering if I'm the blind man. Yeah, it's me." So, do you guys see the switch? How "ego eimi," the same Greek words, are translated "I am," "ho-on," as if Jesus is declaring himself to be God, when in reality, in other places, the translation is switched. Let's take a look at the disciples. In Matthew 26, 21-22, it says what? "And while they were eating, he said," Jesus said, "truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to one another, after the other, "Surely you don't mean me. Is it me that you're talking about? Am I the one? Ego eimi, Lord, master, teacher, rabbi, are you saying that I am the one that is going to betray you. So ego eimi here does not imply what? Surely you don't mean I am God, I am the Lord. Again, the ego eimi is a statement which means the one that we're talking about. Same thing with Paul. We find in Acts 26:29, Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. In other words, he's chained up and he's in jail and he's saying, you know, I have faith and I'm a believer and I hope all of you can have the faith that I have, but I don't hope for you to have the same circumstances. I hope you can be what I am. Now, is he saying, I hope you can become God? Is he saying that? Obviously not. He's saying, I hope you can become what I am, and I am is ego eimi. That's the original Greek. So three different circumstances where ego eimi is translated as I am the one that we're talking about and not translated as I am with capital declaration of divinity, I am God. So don't you think it's a little bit deceptive to translate it that way when Jesus says it, which is sort of inserting a divinity claim where it really doesn't belong? So now let's re-examine the passage. What did Jesus mean when he said, Abraham saw my day? Well, Abraham was given knowledge of a future time when the Messiah would come. God is all-knowing, and many people were known to God before they existed. It didn't make them gods, right? So when you know, he's saying, Abraham saw my day, what is he saying? He's saying that, you know, Abraham was given this divine, miraculous knowledge of the future, because that's what prophets do. They prophesize about the future. And this happens with Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So this is talking about how Jeremiah was a prophet even before he was born. Even before he was formed in the womb, God knew that he would be a prophet. Does that mean that he was divine, that he existed eternally with God in some sort of divine form? No, it means that God knows the future. So this really isn't something shocking. Same thing with in Ephesians 1:4 says what? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So this is talking about the believers. All of the believers were chosen to be good, righteous people, and God knew about who the believers would be even before the creation of the world. Does that mean that they were one with God and divine and so forth, that we should be worshiping all these believers? Of course not. That's not what's being said here. So in the same way, when Jesus is talking about Abraham knowing the future of the day that he will come, he's not saying that he is divine. Let's just be clear about that. So a better translation would be, before Abraham was born, I was the one we're talking about. So what were they talking about? Obviously, we have to know the context. The context teaches us that Jesus was being persecuted for claiming to be the Messiah. Not claiming to be God, but claiming to be the Messiah. And the Messiah was supposed to be the leader, or you could say the teacher of the Jews. That's what they didn't like. The idea that he was the leader, that the idea that he was going to be their teacher, the fact that they were supposed to follow his leadership and his teachings and what he was receiving as divine revelation from God, this is what they were rejecting. How do we know this? Take a look at the context prior to the verse. So we're talking about this I am statement from John 8:58, but if you look at the context prior to it, you find John 8:37, which says what? I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. So I know that you guys want to kill me because of my teachings, because you don't have any room for my word. And again, he talks about this as it is in John 8:40. It says, as it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. That's twice he's saying why they're trying to kill him. And this time he says what? As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. In other words, you're trying to kill me. Why? Because I am a man. He's not claiming divinity. I'm a man, not a god. I'm a man. And I'm telling you the truth I heard from God. This is exactly what a prophet does. He receives revelation and he talks about what he received from God. And this is why you're trying to kill me. So, and this, if you're having doubts about this, then you could go all the way to Mark 14:61-64. Makes it abundantly clear that they were trying to kill him for claiming to be the Messiah. This is the most clear when he says what? Again, the high priest asked, are you the Messiah, the son of the blessed one? And Jesus said, I am. Jesus said, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. So why did they want to kill him? Because he was saying that he was the Messiah, not because he was claiming divinity. So hopefully this is all very clear. He's saying, you have no room for my words. You want to kill me for my words. You want to kill me because I am a man and I'm telling you the truth that I heard from God. So that's the context building up to this statement. So I hope that's clear. So I have some questions here. Here's a question. If the Christians are correct, theoretically, and Jesus is claiming to be God, and the Jews declared it a capital offense in accordance with Jewish law, then why did God send Moses with the instructions to execute the person claiming divinity, and then God came to earth as a man claiming divinity? So I hope you see the contradiction here. Why would Moses come with God's law saying, anybody claims to be God, you got to kill him, and then God says, you know what, I think I'm going to show up as a man, and then they're going to do exactly what I told them. They're going to try to execute me for blasphemy. So the question would be, are the Jews rewarded for obeying Moses, the prophet of God, or should they be punished for killing Jesus, the Son of God? So I hope you can see there's a real contradiction. I don't know which way you would take it. I think it would be quite problematic either way. Another way, in other words, another way of saying this is that if in Numbers 23:19 it said God is not a human, God is not a man that he should lie, and nor a human being that he should change his mind. So if God is declaring, look, don't believe anybody that says that God is a man, because God is not a man. And then same thing with Hosea 11:9. It says what? I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again, for I am God and not a man. So you have multiple instances in the Old Testament, this is Hosea 11:9, where God is declaring that he is not a man. Are Christians claiming that God did become a human because he did change his mind and therefore got killed by his own law? You know, he violated essentially his own command, and therefore that's what got him killed. That's the question. So, in summary, point number one, the healed blind man, the disciples, and Paul were not referring to God, ho-on, I am, when they said ego eimi, when they were saying I'm the one we're talking about. So, switching the meaning only when quoting Jesus is misleading. That's point number one. Point number two, all people were known to God before they existed, like Jeremiah, like the believers in Ephesians. Prophets like Abraham are miraculously given some of this knowledge of the future, hence that's why they are prophets, because they prophesy. Point number three is that doesn't make anybody divine. Point number three, the Jews were trying to kill Jesus for claiming to be the Messiah, who would lead them and teach them, as proven in the context of John 8:37 and John 8:40 and Mark 14:61 to 64. So this is why he was being attacked. This is why they wanted to pick up stones and stone him and kill him, because they rejected the idea that he was going to be their leader, their teacher, their Messiah. And finally, fourthly, if the Jews were trying to kill Jesus for claiming to be God, wouldn't that be God's fault, considering God sent Moses to teach people that God isn't a man, as we quoted from Numbers 23:19 and Hosea 11:9? So, hope that makes sense. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.